everybody, and welcome back to Rebook. It's looking a little weird, right? It's a two spot, not
less
a three
crowded.
Spot. I know, right? You get room to breathe
on
here.
Air.
You'll so notice, as they say in wrestling, conspicuous by his absence, shout out to Gorilla Monsoon, is the one and only Golden Boy who is, last we heard, lost somewhere in the South China Sea, struggling to find land.
Yeah.
And yeah, so
clinging
just,
to driftwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life of Pi style.
Yeah, exactly.
And so yeah, I mean, he's over there in China. He's doing some awesome work, but VPNs and internet trying to get there to here is a huge pain in the butt. We tried to work through a couple ways, and me and Jake just said, you know what? Like, you traveled like 16 hours the other day.
Just
do your job.
Just chill.
If you want to send us some like thoughts or whatever, that's fine too. But we got two big events coming up. We can cover that. That's weekend. That's what this episode is mostly going to be about. Oh wait, sorry, I didn't do the. Wait, this is a podcast about the men and women slapping meat and the. I forgot that was the legally required intro.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, without that, look. We got two. This one is very concentrated because we've got two big events coming up this weekend. We've got WWE, who we've been seeing them all fly over to Saudi Arabia. I got really jealous because I saw some of my friends there. I guess they must have done a chartered flight because they had a menu printed out just for the WWE crew of like, for your flight to Saudi Arabia, like a menu.
Oh, man.
That was really nice.
That's
when
nice.
I went to Saudi Arabia, I flew coach for 12 hours in the back of the plane. So I'm glad they're getting taken care of now. So yeah, King, Queen of the Ring. And then, of course, AEW has a Double or Nothing, which is funny because they have double the matches.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah.
But so before we jump into that, we'll do the usual. Jake, how are you doing in the world, in life, in the universe, etc.?
Ah, man, I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. I'm getting busy, which is about damn time.
Hell, that's lovely.
But finally getting into the summer months. I'm ready for it to warm up a little bit.
No, stop. You're in L.A. Shut up.
Well, I know. I just mean like I want to dip into a pool. I want pool appropriate temperatures, and a degree above that is too much.
You know,
like summer should be 85 max. Like that's what summer should
be. Okay, I can agree with that.
And the rest of the year, like at its lowest, like 65.
I mean, yeah, that's
perfect.
That sounds amazing.
Anywhere in that range. I'm good with. But you're back home off the big tour.
Yes,
finally back home.
Finished up our tour.
How was that first night in your own bed?
Oh my God. That's
always the best. I like that. It's all I can think about anytime I travel home. I'm like, I'm gonna get to sleep in my own bed tonight.
Well, especially because like my absolutely anybody, but like so we should probably replace it soon. We've had this mattress for a while, and being in wrestling when I first got it, like we went out, we got like the bomb Tempur-Pedic, super nice memory foam. And like, even my, I got a pillow to match. It's like this solid, but comfortable memory foam one. So like going from those hotel beds and those pillows that you like sink through that are like, go from fluffy to the slice of paper in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But
you got to fold it up a few times to get any kind
yeah,
of,
like,
yeah.
It's weird. One is like way too shallow. Two, you're like push up like this.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's,
yeah. There's
it's
no good
strange.
In between.
No.
None.
So I didn't even make it tonight. I came home cause I had like a 6 a.m. flight home on Monday from TNA. Mm-hmm. So I went right from the show, right to TNA, then right home. I mean, I just napped. I was in bed by like 11 a.m. for a couple hours because I wasn't waiting for nighttime. And you can ask my wife. Normally, as a nap person, I have this weird, like, I don't know, anti. Like, I don't like putting a blanket on when I nap because it feels too formal.
Okay, I can see that.
Like, I'm not here for 8 hours. I'm here for like an hour or two. I don't
want
to get overly comfortable, so I'm just gonna like. In my jeans, lay on my side in this comfy bed. But this time,
it's business,
pants
not
were
pleasure.
Off.
Yeah,
blanket was on. We were ready to go. So
yeah. I can't. I'm not a napper either.
Generally, if
I'm napping, then I'm like tired. I'm exhausted because I always feel like I'm missing out on something if I'm napping. And I never am. I never am. But I'm just like, I could be doing something with this time. Nothing useful. But yeah, that's always how I feel about naps.
Yeah. It's a little strange. But with that said, we do have the two big events coming up. Let's flip a coin. What do you want to start? You want to start with King and Queen of the Ring, or do you want to roll through Double or Nothing? Dealer's choice.
I mean, let's start out with AEW. Why not?
Let's do it. So as we alluded to at the beginning, Double or Nothing, which is very kind of interesting because the other pay-per-view, King, Queen of the Ring, only have five matches listed. I imagine other things may come up.
I suppose. I don't know. There hasn't really been any kind of build to anything, so I don't really know. Unless they're just giving a lot of time to the King and Queen of the Ring matches.
Which they might.
Yeah. Because, five matches is unusually small.
Like the lighter pay-per-views, that's not many.
Yeah. It feels like you need like one or two more.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get into that when we cover that. But let's jump in. This is Double the match. This is a loaded card. This is kind of, I guess, would we consider this one of the kind of big four, if you were going to give that to AEW?
I would think so, for AEW, right? Yeah, I think this is one of their big ones. And there's a lot. I mean, almost every title is on the line. There's a lot going on. You've got the Anarchy and the Arena match. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be a big event for sure. And let's just start right off with the World Trios title. We finally have actual trios, like true trios champions.
Yes, combined, it's concentrated.
Yes,
one set of trios has any. That's the only trio title.
Okay. Finally. Good. Yeah. How are you feeling about that? Like, let's look at these from a like hype perspective, I guess, of like how interested you are in these matches, because Now that Pac is back, I think this could be a really good match potentially.
Oh, for sure.
Between these two, love to see Death Triangle reunited. I think this could be a really fun match. I'm gonna give it my hype meter. I'm gonna give it a 4 bangs out of 5. Is what I'm gonna give.
Is that gonna be our official scale?
I don't know. It is for this one. I just saw bang bang gang, but
true. But I don't hate it, and we're gonna officially adopt that for the rest of these matches, as we go through them.
All right. But
I think this one intrigues me more as a RAS, although, you know what? They've done some decent build to this. They've stayed consistent with it. It's not like they forgot about it for 2 weeks, which sometimes can happen. Death Triangle coming up, which still, one of my favorite AEW entrances, actually. I think it's shot really cool. And they added in, I don't know if this is like from the most recent like reunion or if they had this before, because I've seen a couple of the entrances, like the little like fast zoom when each one of them, it was like center, then off to the right, pull back, then back over to Pack, and then pull out. It's more dynamic. It's very, very cool. I wish I were more hyped for it though. As a story,
That's the only thing.
It makes me sad. Like, I feel like Jay White, I'm a little hit or miss on him in this because he's so good. I've seen him do such awesome shit. He's done some here in AEW, but especially in New Japan. And this feels like, I don't know if you've seen the meme going around, but from this past week, the who wrote this shit. The promo was a little rambling. Like, it was weird because like the stuff Jay was fine. It was a perfectly fine wrestling promo talking about Pac and like, you're running from us, you're ducking us. And then, but like the joke about pronouncing his name, like, I don't know how to pronounce it. You've known the guy for you. Like,
right.
It's just a weird joke. I get it. You're being a condescending heel, but like they did it like 3 times.
Yeah.
To where the audience is just like, just get on with it. And so it's stuff like that where they're trying to go between like the cheeky, funny, smarmy heel. And I don't think it always lands. So this one, I'm going to go, I'm like, honestly, don't come for me, but I, 2 out of 5 bangs.
Okay, I'll take
it. As far as hype goes. Like, I think it'll be a very good wrestling match. It'll be wild. It'll be great.
Yeah, I think that's where my interest in it lies mostly, is like thinking that it's like just these six guys all in a ring together. I think this could be a really good one. I assume this is going to start out the show. I don't know for sure. I'm just going in the order that I see it. I think this would be a great opener. Can be a good tone setting match for sure. But yeah, like there's a lot. There's definitely a lot to be desired in from the story front, I think.
Yeah, and like I don't. It's like there's nothing to me like hanging on, other than like the titles, where it's like, if Death Triangle win, it's like, cool.
Yeah.
If Bang Bang Gang wins,
yeah, cool. I feel like, yeah.
Yeah, like there's not like a, ooh, they need this, they need to settle this score. It doesn't feel as heavy as some of the others, but right. I mean, you're going to get that on a 10-match card, I suppose.
Well, then let's go to one that feels a little heavier. Orange Cassidy versus Trent Beretta. This is kind of the inverse of that other match. I do feel like they've done some more story stuff here. This could get real nasty, I think. I mean, it's just right now just a regular singles match.
That's what I'm noticing.
Which is interesting, because this feels like a big, you know, I don't know. If this were WWE, this feels like you could have a Hell in a Cell type thing, or maybe you're building to that type of like big match later on. I don't know. Oh, by the way, who do you think wins the other one? The trios.
I think they're still invested in Jay White. I think they're trying to get the guns more elevated.
So yeah.
I think I could see it going either way. Honestly, it's one of like same thing where there's like, okay, but you know, Death Triangle reunited. I could see them giving him an attaboy, but I think they're still trying to elevate the guns and Jay. So I think my gut would be they're going to keep it.
I agree. I think it's going to be Bang Bang Gang. This one though, I'm a little torn because like I said, since it's a regular singles match, and I feel like you could get more brutal. I mean, this is a blood feud, you know, this is like, I don't know, feels more deserving of something big. That's why I feel like the end of this is going to kind of like, I don't know if there's going to be some tomfoolery or whatnot that calls, you know, the winner into question or anything like that. I could see that happening to lead to something later. But like, since we said, this is kind of one of their big four. I don't know. I just thought, there would be something more, I don't know, more gimmicky, more dangerous, more.
Yeah.
I don't know. Worthy of like, of this kind of big blood feud. Cause, and this is one I can kind of see either one of them going over. If it's a regular singles match, though, I think I'm going to take Cassidy. But I think he's going to be like, I think he'll be bloodied and busted open. It's going to go outside the ring a little bit. It's going to be another one of those AEW matches where they play hard and fast with the rules of like, yeah, it's a singles match. Just, you know, don't but kill each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And the hype meter. What is your hype meter?
You know what? I'm gonna say 3 bangs out of 5.
Okay.
Because like I think this could be a really good match between the two. But yeah, I want more like I want that grit and vitriol to really come out in the match. And I don't know how they're gonna do that as well in just a regular singles match. But we'll see.
Yeah. So you said something, so I had like an answer for that, or what I thought would be a good explanation, but you make a good point. Like, this is one of their bigger events, so it feels like this would be a place for blow-offs, not beginnings. But,
right.
I mean, a lot of these will be blow-offs. Maybe this, not everything has to be. Some feuds do start at WrestleMania, you know what I mean? Do start at SummerSlam, for example. So, like, it could, and so that's why, in my mind, I feel like this is the beginning. I don't know if we can get I would like to, but I don't know if we can get all the way to like all in for a big. But this to me, especially in like the middle of the show, I'm normally a conclusive finish guy, but I think this is a non-finish. I think it does spill over. I think Cassidy loses it. It's the old 10 count referee pulling him off. He hits the referee, you know, kind of thing. And they do start brawling, you know, matches over, matches out. They're brawling through. They fight in the back. I mean, we're talking about, involved in this. One of their best friends is career might legitimately be done.
Might, yeah.
Due to obviously numerous real life injuries and things like that. But they're playing it into the story as if it's because of the beatdown and the match with Trent and everything like that.
Right.
So that that raises those stakes. So yes, this is super personal. And they, again, I think they've done a really good job building up the drama for this. I didn't love this week with like Trent paid off Isaiah Cassidy to like wrestle. I'm like, well, number one, they're already getting paid to wrestle. They're professional wrestlers.
Right. So really, but it was dumb of Isaiah to not take the money. I mean, I'm already getting paid to be here tonight.
Sure.
Okay, sure.
I'll wrestle him harder for you, Trent. Like, it's not like he could shoot him.
Yeah, exactly.
But especially just because with the Young Bucks doing like that, we're paying off, you know, Jay Lethal and all these guys to beat up these guys. We're paying off Christian to go beat up Swerve. Like, that's their gimmick. And so to see, like, hey, I'm going to pay off this guy to wrestle this other guy. It was a little odd, but
yeah,
they did add it. So I think, yeah, I think this one ends at a non-finish. I'll give this one, this is a 3 out of 5 bangs. 3 out of 5 oranges for these two. Go.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it could be, I would like to see this get even more nasty though.
Yeah, and granted, like, we still, I mean, this will be coming out Friday. There's still something that could happen tonight potentially to change what the match, you know, could be. Who knows? But yeah, as of right now, it's a 3 out of 5 for me, I think too.
Well, speaking of three, let's move on to the triple threat match for the FTW championship. I mean, I'm conflicted.
I am too. I want to hear why you are first, though.
I think it's to say, we've chatted briefly about this before, I think on other episodes, and like, I hate the FTW title.
I do too.
Yeah, and we talked about this in our AEW championships episode, which, by the way, quick call to action, all those like and subscribe things, but we do have that on our YouTube channel, on one of our bonus episodes. We rank the importance of the AEW championships because there are so many, and this one was at the bottom when we did that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel really weird, even though, like, look, all these titles are made up, right? They're all fake titles.
Sure.
In a fake wrestling world and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. They can mean whatever you want, but there is something to be said for, like, your standard championships instilled by the, you know, promotion or whatever versus the titles that people kind of just, like, make up and bring out with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Million Dollar Man title and stuff like that where it's like, oh, it's a cool prop.
Yeah.
But once you start having, like, random people, like, competing their heart out for it, it's like, why?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, why are we having qualifying matches for an FTW title shot? It feels weird.
Yeah. And I'll say this about, like, at first I was not really on board with what Jericho's doing, but I get it now. I get, like, this gimmick that he's kind of running with. And I think for him, the title works because he's just kind of playing this, like, you know, oh, I'm a legend. I'm the learning tree. Like, of course I would have this prestigious title like that. So it makes sense for Jericho. That's actually kind of why I think he's going to retain it, because I think that we're looking at something obviously down the road with Jericho and Big Bill. I think Big Bill will probably be the one who ends up taking it off of him. But yeah, it's for the gimmick that Jericho's running with now, I get it. It does kind of make sense, but yeah, for it to be this, like, if they kind of leaned into that aspect of, like, not really shitting on this title, but not holding it as this esteemed, you know,
prestigious
with belt with lineage, and it's more like if they do it like that, I think it'll be great. If that's kind of more the direction that we're leaning, of, like, you know, there are certain types of people who care about this title, and then other people want to win that title, not to have it, but just so they don't. I could get on board with that.
Sure.
But I'm 2 out of 5 learning trees on this one.
I agree. Like, it's honestly, this feels like Tony Khan just wants Shibata on the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's my thing.
Especially with that finish on Wednesday with them both tapping out. Or with them both tapping out. God, I can't even think of who the third party was in that. But it just being a simultaneous, like, oh, well, they both win. So I guess it's a triple threat now. Yeah. It feels very much like let's throw Shibata on the card.
Which, unfortunately, that lowers my hype. Because I think you make a really good point. Jericho, like, look, as much as everybody gives him now, like, he's been around a while, and people are giving him the please retire treatment and stuff like that. He does a great job of branding these gimmicks and characters and making something out of nothing. Like, the things like the list, the best friends thing with Kevin, all his groups, the JAS, they seem so silly on
the
paper.
Inner Circle,
But he commits to them, and he gets them over. He always does.
Yeah.
And so this learning tree thing can and kind of very much is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it was this, we talked about this at the beginning, the story with Hook, I don't think is bad. The idea of, like, he was trying to help him. He didn't. So now I'm going to kind of like mess with you. I'm going to take away your little family prop. Come get it. Come on. You think you know better? You think you're ready? Come get it.
Yeah.
And they put him through trials and tribulations. But again, to have like...
And the belt meaning something to Hook makes sense to me too, since it was his dad's.
Right.
And if Jericho is sullying this, you know, its lineage or whatever, then that makes sense 100% why Hook wants it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's a family heirloom. It's a personal feud. I don't know why Katsuyori Shibata wants the FTW title or Johnny Elite or whatever he's going by. and all these random people competing in qualifying. No, just make it a personal feud fighting over your family's amulet. That's what it is from a movie, from a pirate movie, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I'm with you. Two out of five bangs for this one. Let's move over. Speaking of Shibata and the folks from New Japan Pro Wrestling, let's look at the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. Not match. Eliminator match on a pay-per-view. Okay. I want to go on record. I am not a fan of the Eliminator match. Is just something AEW has branded basically that every other company has done where, you know, oh, if you pin the champion in a non-title match, you get a title shot, right? Just call it an Eliminator, which I think is confusing because it sounds like you're being eliminated from a tournament.
Yes, that's 100% what it sounds like. Yeah.
But it's just if you pin the champ in a non-title match, I just don't understand why we couldn't have taken a few weeks and had Takeshita, you know, earn a title shot.
Given him a title shot. That's what, I don't know. I mean,
we done the Eliminator on Dynamite 2 weeks ago, and like he gets, thanks to Don Callis and shenanigans, he gets a cheap win over Mox, and now they fight it out for the title. It was very weird.
I don't know. It's an odd choice too. I'm not like, look, will they put on a great match? 100%. But yeah, for that reason, I'm just, like, it's such an odd thing to do to have an eliminator. So Takeshita wins. When's the payoff from that?
My guess is
it's not even on AEW.
Right. Well, so my guess would be, I don't have it in front of me. I think they did announce something about Forbidden Door and the title. Okay. I don't know if that has something to do with this. Forgive me. I remember reading that. I don't have it in front of me right now. But there's that coming up. They could do something where maybe they try to do something in Japan. I don't know. It just feels off to do this type of match at a pay-per-view, especially one of the bigger pay-per-views.
Forbidden Door is happening June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me think Takeshita's going to win so that they can have that payoff match at Forbidden Door.
So what they're doing, that's what it is. If you want to look this up, I believe they're doing the casino buy-in next week on Dynamite.
Oh, okay.
I think. Or they're doing it maybe before the show. Maybe that's part of the show too. And the winner of that will get a title shot at Forbidden Door.
Okay.
At the IWGP World Heavyweight title shot. And if not, then we can edit all of this scan. but either way, and again, which seems to be a lot of what we, when we talk about AEW, is like, it'll be a great match, but like, going into this, I'm not super crazy invested, especially with it only being an eliminator. But I'm curious about all the New Japan stuff. I am a fan, so I'll say 2.5 out of 5 bangs for this one for me.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna probably say the same as well. I just it's such an odd, like, this should be on Dynamite. It should be on, you know, on
Collision. It could be a main event of Dynamite. That's a hell of a match.
Yeah, for sure. It's just odd to have an eliminator match on a pay-per-view. I don't know.
Yeah.
Especially
one of your bigger pay-per-views.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. So let's go to the TNT title. I am very interested in this one. I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm at least a 4 bangs out of 5 on this one.
Yeah, because 4, 4.5.
It really picked up this past Wednesday. I don't know where things are going with Copeland, but I'm very interested in it. And the thing that I keep coming back to is that, like, this is somehow going to lead to Adam joining House of Black,
which, yes, we discussed as a possibility before.
Yeah. And it's a barbed wire steel cage match. I don't know. It's very I'm very interested to see how they do this, because it does kind of feel like they're going that direction of, like, they're going to be a team. But, like, you don't see people just beat the shit out of each other in a barbed wire steel cage and then, like, go have brunch. You know what I mean? Like, hey. So,
well, in wrestling, but you do.
In wrestling, sure. In wrestling, you do. Yeah. So I'm interested to see how they pull that off of this, of like, is this a, you know, Black's finally earned Copeland's, like, respect in some way, or
right,
or vice versa? Because I don't know. I don't know where this is going. And I mean that in a good way. And that's always kind of refreshing to me, when it's like, there's so many different things at play here, and so many different ways that they could go story wise. But it's a situation of, I don't know that I see Copeland not retaining this title. I don't know. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, but at the same time, like, it's that I don't know where we're going, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, like, where are we going with this? Obviously, again, we've talked about this a little bit, bringing out a darker side of Adam Copeland. There's a lot of theories. Some shout out to Dresden in our Discord. We've mentioned him before here, but the idea of, like, I don't know if it's some weird, like, inception based thing, or like, where Copeland has been the leader of House of Black
the whole time. Yeah.
Or maybe he didn't even know it. Maybe there's something weird deep inside his soul, and like, he's the chosen one and he didn't even know it. He's Lizan Al Gaib or whatever of the House of Black, for them. Right. He doesn't even know he's the Messiah, but all this stuff that's being brought out of him, this Brood-esque style. That's the other thing. Are we going to see, you know, maybe a Gangrel appearance? Are we going to bring Brood?
I think his entrance is going to tell us a lot. I think that's a good Copeland point. Yeah, I think Copeland's entrance is going to tell us a lot.
We're going to get the fire.
Double or Nothing. We might get the fire. Who knows? And him rising out of that'd be pretty sweet.
That'd be sick.
I don't know. But this is going to be a lot of fun. These two guys are going to beat the shit out of each other. It's going to be a blast.
Yep.
You know, the ring may look legitimately like it did at the end of Malachi's segment.
I mean, real quick shout out. A huge credit. They did. So if you didn't see, spoiler alert or whatever, but you've probably watched if you're watching this.
Yeah.
Copeland gave a bloodbath to Malachi Black in the middle of the ring after his match. And like, it wasn't just like red paint. It was like horror movie. It was like dark, almost like black, like congealed in points. Like, it looked like there was pieces of flesh in there.
Yes.
Like, it was a gnarly looking bloodbath. It was like crazy food colored Karo syrup. It looked gnarly and it was really good.
Yeah.
I said it in our Discord, but my one thing on the damn thing was Copeland comes on the monitor and everything and is like, you know, speaking ominously to Malachi Black. But and he does the my least favorite trope in wrestling, and so many people do it, is when people are getting like intense and evil and stuff like that. The
and then back to
Nobody does that. No character, whatever. If you're laughing maniacally, something is triggered in you, and you just keep laughing. You're crazy.
Yes.
Or you get really serious. People don't just switch things like that. That is not a very nor like that is not.
What's more terrifying to me is someone who clearly enjoys the madness. Like let that madness take hold and lean into it.
Just
it. Don't let it go.
It's funny.
It's
just go off on that.
Yeah.
Go off on him cackling. Mm-hmm. Like you little freaking rat. Like, just wait. This is what you wanted.
I'm going to massacre you. Yeah.
This
is funny
more.
To me because you chose this. You chose it. You brought this out. Now you have to deal with the consequences. And to me, it's just funny because I'm just going to have fun doing it. Tearing you apart limb from limb. I think this is one that I'm really hyped about. I think Copeland retains. I think, I'm very much looking forward to this match.
On this. Do you think, I mean, it's like AEW, they're always just like taking things up a notch. Did we need barbed wire? Or could this have been done with just a steel cage match?
I mean, we don't need barbed wire, but don't you want it a little bit?
I mean, I guess
with the whole blood thing.
But I guess between, like, there was the no holds barred match with Brody King and then the bloodbath. I think maybe we do need something a little bit more, like, nasty. I can see that.
But this is the kind of match that I expected, like, Cassidy and Beretta to be in.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. I think we'll get there. Yeah, I'm with it. 4.5 out of 5 on the Newzype meter. let's real quick switch over to the women's division. Let's talk about Mercedes Moné and Willow Nightingale. And I'm not crazy, right? This is the in-ring AEW debut of Mercedes?
Yes.
Okay.
This is her first match. She wins it. I don't know. You don't pay her all that money.
Yeah.
You don't bring her in. You don't have her first match be at Double or Nothing.
For a title.
For a title to lose it. It just seemed like, which I hate for Willow, because she's been so good. She's been very deserving of this title win. But like, it's such a short-lived run for her. Unless we feel like, you know what, Willow's more interesting when she chases. I can get that to a point. And if we just, you know, we need more of a reason for Mercedes to go after the title other than she just wants it. So let's put it on Willow, who she has history with, and have it kind of be a transitional title reign in a way, which I'm... Like I said, Willow's been so good, and I wish that she could have a long title run. And look, maybe it doesn't happen, but I don't see Mercedes not coming away with the TBS title on this.
I feel like that could be the one where they try to swerve us, and maybe But I think you're right. And to be fair, when they brought Mercedes in, even after that first promo, I was for sure thought she was going to be big babyface, right?
Yeah.
But no, they've committed to working with her as the heel. And so I think maybe I hope this isn't done here, because I think these two, they've done some pretty good work. What was it, 2 weeks ago, the contract signing, I thought was a really good segment. Mm-hmm. With them, and I think it put over Willow a lot, and like you said, she's been kicking ass, and we've gotten to see her more and more, so she gets to develop her character. And I would like to see a chase with Willow, and then maybe again, maybe it's too soon, maybe all in, we have she finally gets her
title back,
you know what I mean, in a big way. But I think you're right. I think you bring with all this hype, it's her debut match for Mercedes. I think
I wonder, do you have, I almost don't know if you have Mercedes win clean or not. If she's leaning into the heel aspect of it and you have her win dirty, then that gives Willow more drive and restarts that story. I could see it carrying. I could see the story carrying on that way of like, no, you didn't win my title. You stole it. And, you know, Mercedes kind of feeling like, well, guess we're even on that now, aren't we? And then you have the blow off later.
Yeah.
Or the payoff later. I could really see something like that happening. Because I just, yeah, I don't want what I think happens too often in title pictures is you have somebody win the thing and then they, when they drop it, they just disappear into the ether.
Yes.
And I don't want that to happen for Willow. I think she's really deserved the spot that she's in. So,
and
maybe
them,
that's what happens.
With them playing into that history, I remember I kind of wasn't sure about it when they first came in. I was like assuming people, it was a bold move to assume people knew the New Japan history between them,
right.
But they have played into it. They've explained it. And so that's a good point. Yeah, you stole my title. Is that the way, you know, Mercedes would feel? So I'm going to steal yours.
Yeah.
And then she can also be a cocky, arrogant chicken shit heel too. And because she's always touted herself as like the best women's wrestler on the planet, right?
Right.
So she kind of holds that, like blindly carries that banner. And Willow's like, the fuck you are?
You just,
you know, held the ropes, did whatever it is, some kind of shenanigans. Which I think could keep that feud really, really going.
Yeah, all right. I could see Mercedes trying to injure Willow in the same way, and Willow may being gone for a little bit with a similar injury that Mercedes had from their first match. I don't know. I think this one, I'm interested to see where this goes. I'm interested to see Mercedes in her first match back. I will say, you know what, at first when I was talking about, I was going to say three, but I'm going to say four. I'm going to say four bangs.
Okay.
Four bangs out of five. That's kind of what I'm feeling in this, because I think this is probably the beginning of a feud. I don't think this is the end at all. Let's talk about the other women's match, the world title match. Toni Storm versus Serena Deeb. Again, I Tony's got a chokehold on that whole division.
Yeah.
I don't think she drops the title here. Serena's great. And the build up to this has been fun.
It's been fine. You know what I mean?
It's been fine, but
the thing is, obviously Tony, you're right, has a death grip just on attention and intrigue, that her character is such that that's just the case.
Yeah.
And Serena is a fantastic wrestler. I don't think she's ever been the most dynamic or engaging or magnetic personality.
Right.
Great, incredible history of just, again, just being one of those like nose to the grindstone, you know, wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Again, incredible history, but like, there's no competing with that star power. It's not, and like they've tried to, you know, telling her story and getting some sympathy, but like, people just love this Toni Storm character so much.
I don't know who. Tony's creeping to me. She's creeping into Roman Reigns territory here. Of like, I don't know who you have her drop the title to.
She's doing her best work.
She's so good. Yes. Yeah.
And by the way, a lot of people give the like, oh my god, they just turned Tony's arm babyface on. No,
absolutely not.
You can't change
not.
Her because no. her actions are heel actions, and that it's what makes them entertaining and interesting.
Yes,
with that character, maybe there's a point you could do it. It's not now though.
Right. Yeah.
So as far as like, again, I love watching Toni Storm work, but this match is pretty. So as far as my hype and investment, I'm like 1.5 out of 5.
I think I'm two.
Other alternative here.
Yeah.
And it's very cut and dry.
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, like, we have 3 matches left here. I feel like 2 of them are cut and dry. Let's go next to the international title.
Yep.
Your title holder, Roderick Strong, against a man on fire right now, Will Ospreay. And Will got bloodied and had a great promo after the, you know, that was posted online after. It's Will Ospreay. It's Will Ospreay.
It's gotta be,
I understand Undisputed Kingdom. I don't give a shit. It's Will Ospreay. He is so nuclear hot right now, and he's so over. Like you put the title on him. I don't see Roddy coming away with it this time.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty much with you. That it'll be a banger of it's a freaking match.
It's going to be a really good match. There's going to be shenanigans. Will's somehow going to overcome it. I mean, this could be a 30 minute like just killer match.
Yep.
I think for that reason, there's just not much story here that I care about. But for like the match itself, I'm going to say 3 out of 5 is kind of where I'm feeling on the hypometer. Yeah. And this very well could be a show stealer, honestly.
Yeah.
It could be a very, very good match. And, I don't know, maybe set up some good story, you know, maybe what could be interesting is this is really where we start to see a split of Will off of the Callis family. And it becomes a thing of like, well, hey, we helped you fend off Undisputed Kingdom to win this title. Yeah, but I didn't want you to do that. I'd need you to do that. Well, now, and then they abandoned him. And now Ospreay has to deal with Undisputed Kingdom on his own. I could see that kind of being a thing that of how this transitions and where this goes, to have Ospreay kind of be an underdog in a bit just because of numbers. Well, I don't know. How are you feeling about this one?
Yeah, no, I'm right lock and step with you on that one. I mean, Will Ospreay is literally part of his over the last, even before coming to AEW, he's kind of like being touted around and they call him, he's a world beater.
Yeah.
That's kind of his thing, right? He's going out everywhere having these classic toppling the top names everywhere. He comes to AEW, he's doing the same thing here, just on a roll. And as I learned early on in my career, and I agree, there's so much 50-50 booking in wrestling. Mm-hmm. This guy wins a match or two, then he's got to lose one. All right, he beat that guy, so now on Dynamite he's got to lose. There's so much of that. Like, sometimes you just got to go on a run.
Yeah.
And I think, and Will Ospreay's on a run, and I think you just got to keep him rolling. We'll reach a point where you can start doing a little bit of back and forth, but the role is still there. So I think for sure we have a new champion. I think for sure, whether maybe the Don Callis family gets involved against Will Ospreay's wishes, maybe they help, like you said, at the match itself, neutralize the Undisputed Kingdom. And it is like that. And then, you know, someone like a Will Hobbs, who I know is hurt, or Kyle Fletcher or whoever's like, well, you know, we helped you. Can we get a title shot? It's like, dude, I didn't want you. But fuck it, fine. And then you know, they start getting more aggressive with him. Could be a split off there. Mm-hmm. Then there's a lot there. But I think it's pretty cut and dry. I'm with you. And yeah, I'm intrigued by the match. I'll say 2.5 out of 5 bangs.
Okay.
The match will be incredible, but like I think the outcome is very clear. And
yeah, I think so too. I think so too.
And then let's go to the other title match, because I think that's pretty cut and dry. Christian Cage going up against Swerve Strickland this is his first pay-per-view defense of the title, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, you crowned him. You crowned him as your guy. I think.
Yeah, so you're going to keep riding.
Establish him.
Yeah, absolutely. This kind of feels like this probably isn't a one-off thing either. I imagine it's going to continue in some capacity. I don't know what. I can see something like, you know, the ref accidentally being taken out. Christian had Swerve for a 3 count, but there was nobody there to count it. Then, you know, Swerve recovers, ends up winning when a new ref comes out or when the ref comes to. I could see it being something like that, and Christian having some kind of, you know, I had you. I could see something like that. Because, I mean, you know the patriarchy is going to get involved somehow.
Oh, yeah.
So I just don't know how. I think this can be a really fun match. I'm going to say 3 out of 5 for me. Because I just don't know where it goes. I don't know where it's going to go from here. I don't know who you possibly have lined up to take on Swerve after Christian. So that's kind of why I think it's going to continue a little bit more, to see what we can make of it. I'm not sure though. What are you feeling on this?
Yeah, no, I think it'll be really, really good. I mean, they've done a good job of like bringing, which what I've loved about this is like, I think whether this was a concern of theirs or not, in the transition from Swerve to babyface over the last several months, I don't know if anybody was worried that he lost his edge. I wasn't worried about it, but this was definitely, there was a little bit of like, to bring that heel Swerve edge back out, you know, mm-hmm. getting jumped multiple times. Now he's, you know, especially the last couple of weeks, he's really started clapping back. I thought it was a lot of fun actually this week with the stuff chasing Christian Cage, pulling him out of the car, Nana stopping him from leaving. And I mean, like, it was really cool. It was fun to watch it, that almost bloodthirsty side of Swerve coming back out to defend his turf was really, really good. And Chris, and this match, Christian to me is one of those guys, he almost reminds me of like a Randy Orton, where it's like, he's this guy, he's so good, but not good in the way a lot of the young guys you like are. Your Will Ospreys, who are crazy athletes, even your AJ Styles and stuff like that, who do these amazing things. They're really good in that old school way. Like they don't move crazy fast, but they put together really good matches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like somehow their matches, which are not doing all the wild shit that you like in other things. I don't know. There's just something about it. It fits even in modern wrestling, the way they put together their false finishes, the pace of the match, the theatrical, you know, Shakespeare side of it. Like, well, interferences, all that kind of up and down, they're really good. And so I feel like this will be a really good match for Swerve to go up against somebody with that kind of experience and knowledge. And I'm excited for the match. I'm going to go 3.5 out of 5 bangs.
Okay. I like it.
But I think the result is very clear. I think Swerve stays atop.
Yeah, I think so.
Which leaves us with Anarchy in the Arena. Absolute melee, 4-on-4, you know, the Elite versus Darby Danielson. Darby, who somehow is back.
That's what I don't understand. I don't understand how he's, like, this match is going
to
be
he was supposed
nuts.
To climb a mountain this summer. He was, the injury said no.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets hit by a bus, which further puts him no.
Yep.
And but now he's like, I guess I'll just
wrestle.
But
the doctors are like, no, you can wrestle, though. That's so strange. That's like, well, are you made of adamantium? Like, what is going on? It's crazy.
So Darby's nuts. So, like, I truly hope that it was just like, it turned out to not be as bad as they thought. You know, he booted up for a couple weeks and he's okay. Like, I know he's also the type of guy who would say, fuck it, if he wasn't 100%. But, like, I'm hoping they're thinking for him. And hopefully, like I said, it was just faster than usual. How you feeling about this one? You hyped? The build for this has been a little like, because we had Kingston and then
it feels a little hodgepodged.
A tiny bit.
It feels a little hodgepodged. Like it was just, well, let's, because I'm not totally sure. I don't really understand Danielson's involvement necessarily in this.
Right.
Darby makes sense. Obviously FTR makes sense. I don't know. I mean, these are always pretty fun, and I just have a feeling that flamethrower is getting used, right? I mean, that's
what a prop.
The man came out with a fucking flamethrower.
Like, good Lord.
What the hell? Now it's going to be, well, he can't climb Everest next year either because he has third degree burns over 60% of his body. Up.
Yeah. No kidding.
I it's just, and who do you get? Like, I don't know. It's going to be bananas just because of now Darby's involvement and coming out with a goddamn flamethrower.
And can we throw a little, maybe I save this for the rebooked 24/7 champion of the week. No, I have to talk about it. So there was already like people, I've already seen people do it. There's already meme potential with Darby, you know, people can't imagine holding the flamethrower, just like screaming like he's in a 90s action movie.
In a wildly flammable jacket. Put that like out there.
A faux fur or whatever the hell it was.
Whatever fire marshal approved all of that has some answer. Exactly. It's a good point.
But the even better meme material of Tony Khan being the one to drop him off in an SUV, looking like the dorkiest dad with the coolest son ever.
Yeah, all right. You have him, you boys have fun.
Go play with your pal. Giving him the fist bump while he walks in with a flamethrower. Like, it's so, like, I hate it / loved every moment of it because it was so. That's like that whole sequence is kind of like how I feel about the movie Boondock Saints. You know what I mean? It's this really look at Boondock. There's people who it's greatest movie ever. Like, I was one of those people.
It's a fever dream that movie.
Really, when you look at it, so much of it is so corny. And over there, like, the gangsters are all like, I got a big suit. Look at me. I'm a gangster. Like a cart. It's like a human cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
So over the top. So cheesy. So like a lot of things you wouldn't have if you wanted a really good, like serious, dramatic, like crime film or something like that. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So well, like maybe it knows what it is. So like that sequence kind of felt like we know what this is. We know this isn't some like seriously like cool moment. Like, this is so corny seeing the broken down little boss who just got beat up a couple weeks ago, dropping the kid off with the flamethrower. It was like a fever dream.
Yeah,
it was wild.
Wrestling to me can be a lot like, a dish you get at a restaurant. The amount of cheese you put on it. Vastly affects my opinion of it. There is a uncanny valley, a point of no return on the cheese. And then, when you go past that, it's like, okay, now I think I start to get it again. That's a little where that was, where I'm like, there's a lot of cheese. There's a lot of cheese on this burger. And then it was like, yeah, well, here's some more. Here comes Tony Khan in a neck brace.
I like this.
Soccer mom's SUV. I mean, it just, it was tremendous. And that's the kind of shit you get in an Anarchy in the Arena match. I'm going to say my hype for it is a 3. For now, I think the Elite wins. I don't see them not. This is it. It almost feels a little cut and dry to me. I would be surprised if FTR and the gang beat the Elite.
I think this takeover story keeps going, right? Reign of Terror has to. We're just beginning. I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, so I'm gonna take the Elite in this one. I can't wait to see Okada try to do some kind of weird shit. That's what I'm excited about. You know, we talked about him doing uppercuts in a suit. I can't wait to see Okada in an Anarchy in the Arena match because I don't know. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if he's ever had any kind of match like this before.
Like, so, like, he's done matches in Japan where, like, tables did get involved and, like, they fought into the crowd, but nothing like the level of, like, props and setups that they've done in these, like, golf carts and chains and, like, glass windows. He's never done the level of, like, Hollywood that Western wrestling, especially AEW, has done. In these types of matches. So I am very curious to see that as well. Do we think this ends the show, or do we think this is in the middle somewhere? And we end with like the world title or something.
That's tough. I mean, honestly, I can see it closing the show because of how crazy all the shit can get.
Right.
And them going throughout the entire arena, it feels like one that will probably close the show and like be one of those, this match is not sanctioned by, or whatever, you know, kind of like something like that. I think it probably goes on last. I think there's going to be some kind of crazy stunt or something to cap the whole thing off. I think that this is going to probably main event the show, would be my guess.
I would imagine that's what they got. Just because I want to see. I'm at a 4 out of 5 bangs.
Okay.
On this one, I am very curious to see exactly what they pull off. How how wild is Darby going to get? How healthy is he? Yeah, I really want to see what Okada will do.
Yes.
It'll just be, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, let's move on.
That is AEW.
That's AEW. Yep. Yeah. Let's go to Saudi Arabia.
Yes, indeed.
For King and Queen of the Ring, and we mentioned it at the top of the show, it's so odd that there are only currently, as of this recording, 5 scheduled matches for this, what I'm assuming is a huge event in Saudi Arabia. That genuinely shocks me. Something could come up tonight on SmackDown. I don't know. But it just seems odd to, like, something pops up on SmackDown and just be like, oh, yep, that's on the card now. But I just, like, 5 matches, unless they're giving these a lot of time, which I could also see.
I was looking at it. So 5 matches, even if you gave all of them 20 minutes.
Right.
And then Logan and Cody gave them 30 minutes. That's still only like...
That's 2 hours.
I think it's 2 hours, maybe a little less. I think it's 110 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Wait, 120. No, it'd be 2 hours like on the dot. Yeah. So like, although I'm not mad at like a 2.5 hour pay-per-view with like backstages and intro.
With maybe long a promo matches somewhere. Between, sure. I mean, it felt like we saw more of that at Backlash, of them concentrating more on the matches. And maybe that's what we've got here. I don't know. But let's kick it off. And here's the thing, too, is we don't even know who their opponents are necessarily going to be as of this recording.
No, not yet. But I think they're not. I wouldn't say cut and dry. I think there's some pretty obvious routes.
I think so.
But before that, let's look at the Intercontinental Championship. It is a triple threat match. Sami Zayn defending against Chad Gable and Bronson Reed. This one, I mean, it'll be real good. I'm sorry, Golden Boy, your boy ain't winning.
You know, I was gonna speak up on behalf of GB today, and I was gonna take Bronson Reed because I can see Sammy and Chad being too involved with each other, too much vitriol, too much hate. They're only focused on each other, and here comes a large human to ruin your plans. That's Bronson Reed can walk away with it. I could see that happening. That's with how much is going on between Sammy and Chad. I'm interested to see Otis's involvement in this, because I think we're finally I could see a fun run for Otis, which we almost had a few years ago when he won Money in the Bank and then he lost the briefcase. Otis, I like Otis, and I'd love to see something happen for him. I could also see Chad Gable winning this, and Otis turning on him at the end after he, you know, runs his mouth or something, and then you get Otis versus Gable. I don't know. There's so many outcomes from this that I think could be very interesting. And Bronson Reed winning them, GB, shout out. I could see being one of them. I don't know. Man, I think this will be a fun match.
You may have altered my mind a little, because my thinking was exactly, it was like, he's been in there, but he's felt like such a side note to Sammy and Gable. And then, of course, like he's, and the Alpha Academy, Otis and stuff like that, who we saw. I loved what they did on Monday of the idea of course, Chad continuing to bully, and Otis finally was like, all right, I'll listen. Or whatever. Yeah. And he attacks Sammy. But then immediately we all see backstage.
Yeah.
He's clearly like conflicted, and they're playing that up very well.
Yes.
So like, where you don't know, where does Otis stand and everything like that? Mm-hmm. You love to see that. I think this will be really good. Maybe it's not yet. I feel like this could be Gable's moment, though.
I
think we gave Sammy WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I think we built up Gable as this heel. I think they've done a really good job. I think he wins the title here and really holds that over. And maybe even Otis helps him again, reluctantly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a little bit of like, I mean, I like Otis kind of like, I did I help you. Win the I did title. Help you. Like, could I, yeah. Maybe I could have a title shot, kind of just like Sammy gave you.
Because
you know?
Then, oh, now see, here's some good fantasy booking. Ooh. Is Chad wins, right? And Otis makes that point of, I helped you win this. Let me have a shot at it. Chad says no. Then, I don't know, maybe Otis is taken under a different wing for a change. And Sammy trains Otis on how to beat Chad Gable. And turns his pupil against him in some way. Yeah. That could be something fun.
That could be intriguing.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to give this 4 out of 5 on the hype meter for me. I think this could be a really good match. I think this I think it could be very good. Yeah. I personally would not take Bronson Reed, but someone must speak for GB while he's not here.
Fair enough.
And I'll take Bronson Reed in the to be the new IC champion.
Fair enough.
Another title match on the card, Becky Lynch, right smack dab in the middle of the Liv Morgan Revenge Tour. She is the next stop on said tour. What are we feeling about this one? I think I'm interested to hear what you have to say. I honestly feel like Liv could walk away from this with that championship.
I think she could too. So we're in a weird spot. Because clearly, there was obviously nobody was planning for, as you never do, but right. Rhea was, I'm sure, intended to continue to have quite a long reign. I would imagine at least through the summer. You know what I mean? And so we would have gotten to Liv Rhea, and I think obviously we will eventually. But so Becky winning it feels like it could easily be a transitional kind of thing. Because like she doesn't need it. Yeah. I don't think there was any intention on her having it in this time period, in this timeline anyway. So I think it's like, hey, here's an opportunity with Rhea out. We were going to get to this thing with Liv anyway. Let's make Liv this summer and put her back on top. Mm-hmm. So I think the opportunity is there, especially like I would have thought they would have maybe built to this a little bit slower and maybe SummerSlam or something like that, or maybe Germany.
Yeah.
But since we're here and they made this, I could see the same thing. I think they've been doing a pretty good job with building this up, doing the whole Liv Morgan revenge tour, even involving Becky's friend Lyra. Mm-hmm. Smacked her backstage on Raw and everything too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're really...
And more hints of possible involvement with
Judgment
Dom.
Day.
And Judgment
right?
Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It does feel like, I can't believe I'm saying that Becky Lynch might have been a transitional champion, but with the injury, it made sense.
Here's one thing about transitional champions though too. And I think it happens and it's not, it's not always a bad thing. This case I think could be that because where it really hurts is when you see like a first time champion or like a young kind of up and comer and they,
like
where
Willow,
it's like they,
for example,
yeah, Willow, or even like, we were worried about it with Joe, although I think we all thought Samoa Joe had a good reign. But people like that who like they win for the first time or they're like, they're still newer. Maybe it's first or second time holding the title. It's like, all right, here's where they're going to be established. And then they just kind of transition it over to someone else.
Yeah.
But in the case of Becky's had her many moments in the sun, right? She's had WrestleMania main events. She's had huge moments. She's had huge long-ass title reigns. Like, she is established. This would not make or break her championship history, you know what I mean? So, like, this is the kind of situation where if I'm her, and I'm sure she feels this way, it's like, if I can help...
Put
the story along,
over,
build
or,
Liv
yeah.
up in this whole thing,
yeah.
so then we can get an even bigger match when it comes down to Liv and Rhea eventually. Mm-hmm. Great. It's a great piece of business. So maybe they can stretch this out. Maybe Becky could win, and then Liv really consolidates some of that. Maybe, again, gets Finn or Dom, maybe really infiltrates them, and they get them to help her beat Becky in Germany or something. I think could see it stretched to there. But I'm gonna go with you for funsies. Let's say it. I think Liv Morgan Revenge Tour strikes its first big win here.
Yeah.
In the sand. Pun intended.
I think so too. I could see it potentially going to where Liv would be a great money in the bank holder too. Given like, you know, this revenge tour, like we said, but yeah, I think, I don't know. Just they keep mentioning, feels like there's been a lot of foreshadowing of Becky being like, well, she's never beat me. Not once. Yep. Has she ever beat me? She's never beat me. They seem to be really hammering that pretty hard. So yeah, I'm going to go with Liv on this one. I think Liv's great. I think it's a summer of Liv. Let's do it. That's what I'm here for. Well, do you want to discuss the undisputed? Well, it's not even for that. What am I talking about? Do you want to talk about Cody Rhodes and Logan Paul, or do you want to talk about the King and Queen of the Ring? How do you want to do this?
Let's go ahead. We'll do. Yeah, let's do that. We'll end with the namesake of the event.
All right.
We'll Cody go with Rhodes Logan. Wins.
It's all right. Now let's talk about.
Now that we know, right? Now, the last week's episode, there was a lot of that discussion. Even the wording was weird. Like, yeah. What's on the line? What? I don't know if the contract signing last week or whatever was in a response to the confusion.
Yeah.
But they made it much more clear. Logan Paul, through his heelish, smarmy tactics, had it made so it is only for the WWE Undisputed title, not the United States Championship. So with that being said, I mean, it's clear as day. I mean, yeah, Cody Rhodes.
Hell of a match. This is one that reeks of we need a highlight match for Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
And so let's put two of our biggest
international stars.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Because there's really not much story here.
He was just named as his opponent two weeks ago.
I'm like one and a half out of five on this for my hype meter.
For the results and like the story. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm like 1.5 because I bet the match will be fun.
There'll be some wild
spots. Logan will jump off something.
Yeah,
you know. But as far as like outcomes and intrigue, yeah, I'm like 1.5 out of 5 on this.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Cody retains.
Yeah, Cody retains. I think that one's pretty easy. So then let's go with Queen of the Ring.
Now we have two remaining semifinal matches on SmackDown tonight, the night this goes out on the air.
Mm-hmm.
So far we have Lyra Valkyria is confirmed for the finals.
Yep.
And the remaining match on SmackDown will be
great match with Io Sky, by the way.
We've said it before. The matches consistently throughout this tournament have been high quality.
Yes.
It's made it feel important, save for one, which to me was
Nia and Jade Cargill. That one confuses me. Okay, you don't want to hurt Jade, but that makes it feel like Nia's going to win it. If we're having her go over Jade, that's kind of where I'm leaning. I think it's going to be a great match because Lyra's proved that she can have a great match with pretty much anybody or in any kind of style. And Nia has, to her credit, improved so much over these past few months and has done a great job. I very much see Nia Jax going over Bianca tonight on SmackDown and probably over Lyra in the finals on Saturday. But I think they've done a great job. The one thing you always want out of the King and Queen of the Ring tournaments is to highlight, you know, as many people as you can and really highlight like a couple specific people. I thought they've made Lyra look like a star. They've made her look really good in all of this. And I'm very excited to see what comes of all this for her.
And, I don't know if you saw this. I saw it literally right before we started recording, breaking news. Triple H did declare that the winners of the King and Queen of the Ring tournament will get a shot at the world champion of their brand at SummerSlam.
Whoa. See, I didn't see that. That's interesting.
Literally just popped up on, so whatever women's world title brand you're on, world title.
Yeah. Oh, now see, that's interesting. Yeah. So you'd have, gosh, what would the, what? Oh man.
It, I mean, it would depend. So,
yeah.
Nia, if Nia does win, which I think, and just speaking on that, like, I think.
Because the SmackDown Women's awesome. Champion is Becky.
Bayley.
Right? Oh, it's Bayley.
So that you Ooh. Could, you could get there. But it's, we also still have two events. We have Money in the Bank and Germany.
Yeah.
Battle in right. Berlin or whatever. So yeah. there, things can shift, but presuming a lot of, you know, they do like to do longer championship reigns. So that's a possibility. And then moving over to the men's side, the remaining semifinal is Tama versus Orton with Gunther yeah. already secured for the finals. Which I think
called that one. I but you convinced me. I was like, I don't know, maybe Jay is going over it. But again, another great match. That's the second yeah. one that Jay and Gunther have had. They have like really good chemistry together.
Yeah.
And it's really like we've definitely not seen the last of them in a feud together. They are not. Great. But like again, this just doesn't seem like a situation that Gunther doesn't come out on top. I mean, yeah. I feel kind of like. What I think is probably going to happen, I think your finals are going to be Gunther versus Randy Orton. I feel like that's probably what you're going to see again, because it's like, you know, having that marquee matchup in Saudi Arabia. And, you know, I can see Tama getting himself disqualified, trying to go too far with it or something like that. I don't know. I wouldn't be mad at either way. Gunther's, I don't think he's ever fought Randy or Tama. I mean, I know he hasn't fought Tama, but I don't think mm-hmm. he's fought Randy either.
I don't think so either.
Either way, I think it's going to be really, really good matches on Saturday here. What are your thoughts on that one?
So, yeah, I mean, something's got to me. I feel like something with the bloodline will cause something to happen with Tama and Randy, not that you need to. You mean
right,
I mean,
right.
Randy could beat Tama clean. That's not sure. an issue.
Yeah.
But I feel like they'll involve something with that story, whether it's Kevin Owens or an LA yeah. Knight or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope, yeah, I Gunther versus Randy is like one of those matches like that I didn't know I wanted so bad until yes. I saw it on paper.
Yes.
Like I talk about how good Randy, and shout out to Randy and Carmelo. Really yes. good match last
oh,
week.
Man.
I thought it was
fantastic.
Awesome. Randy
yeah.
selling the leg was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they worked that. But you talk about, I talked earlier about Randy and guys like him and Christian, really good at like laying out matches and pacing and everything like that.
Yeah.
Gunther is so good at that too. Again, two guys who are very deliberate and like methodical and everything like that. I feel like this could just be a really good like chess match and like
for sure yeah
like simple things but
just
done
circling
really,
each
really
other
well yeah,
yeah. Like, having the two of them,
they're both
oh, man
they both are good at working that like big match style. They're not too fast. Mm. They take their time, they pick their moments, pick their spots. Everything, it's like everything isn't flashy but so good and so perfectly placed that it makes these matches awesome.
Yeah,
so yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I like. And
yeah, Randy versus Gunther would be like watching two Agent Smiths fight each other. Yeah. It's kind of how it feels, you know, like just yeah. so I like both steps ahead of each other, just perfectly countering each other. No one can get a hit in. And then finally things start to. I think that could be a really, really good match. I'm 4 out of 5 for that one. And I'll tell you. I'm 4 out of 5 for Lyra versus whoever she faces, because she's put on such great matches lately. I'm excited to see how she goes against either Nia or Bianca. Yeah. I do think it'll be Nia. But yeah, Gunther and Randy. I mean, are we going to have the king hit on our own? Is that how this one ends?
Right?
I think that's what we have.
I think that's a clear one. I think it puts Gunther back up on top. We mm-hmm. talked about it. He needs his time for him to move on to the world title picture. Now
yep.
with the stakes on the line, title shot at SummerSlam, I think it's a perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, although like King of the Ring is like one of the few things Randy hasn't done. So if they just
right.
want to kind of throw him an edible, like he's still doing incredible work. It's not like he's over the hill or like,
no, oh, he's as good now as he's ever been. Yeah.
So like, you wouldn't hate it. Some of you guys might be like, man, I might cry about it.
Yeah,
but
why do we do it? Yeah.
Like, but it is a perfect launching platform for Gunther. So I have to imagine that is probably where it's going. But either way, I think we're going to get treated to an awesome couple of matches. Like, man, I mean, if you give me like maybe one surprise match or like a promo from somebody, give me like an LA Knight promo. I don't know.
Sure.
But then like give all these matches like 20 plus minutes and then whatever the main event of the show is, whether it's the
King or Queen of the Ring. Because that's the whole point of this event, right?
Yeah.
Is focusing on what's in the ring, King and Queen of the Ring.
Bingo.
Let's focus on the wrestling. Yeah, I think this could be a good show and some great, like, jumping off points for some stories, like with Liv and Becky, perhaps, and maybe seeing Liv go over and then seeing what happens with that Intercontinental Championship match. This could be really good. We got some good eats this weekend as far as wrestling goes between this and Double or Nothing.
In a rare move, because of the time difference, you could watch both. Without having to like miss
That's
one,
because
the King of the Rings, I think, is at like 1 p.m. Eastern or something.
Yes,
and then
I wrote it down here. King of the Ring is on Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific on Saturday. Yep. Double or Nothing start time on Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific.
They're on different days. I thought they were on the same day. That's my bad.
No. They're both on. Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh,
different days.
That'd be incredible if they were. So that's what we got for this weekend. I think we're going to wrap it up here. We'll talk about our 24/7 champion here in a moment. Let's give you the calls to action. Go join our Discord. Links are probably going to be down below. Talk to us about wrestling. We do fantasy booking in there. We talk about the shows as they're happening, live events. It's just a great place to hang, chat wrestling amongst other things. Join us in the Discord. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We're Rebooked Pod everywhere. And subscribe and share this thing. Let's build this community of, you know, like good vibes toward wrestling. I'm so tired of all the negative shit all the time about it. We want to celebrate the fun and the good on this podcast. So let's spread it, you know, share it, review us. You know, we're going to be around for a while and we want you to be around for a while too. So join us, but let's get on, Matthew. To the most important,
that's
the most important thing we do on this program every week.
That's
the
definition of the term important, but we're innovators here.
The Rebooked 24/7 champion of the week, Matt.
That's right.
Your nominee, sir.
So, I wasn't sure going in. I was thinking, but as soon as before we recorded, I was saying like, what are we going to do? And then I had it because there's been a lot of little fun moments, but this one was another fun example. This one is a shout out to all the lonely neckbeards out in internet land because you almost had a fun time moment. My 24/7 Rebooked Champion of the Week goes to the I believe it's the Deeb Dojo sign.
The flag.
The flag that Luther ripped down and Miss Toni Storm did a little dance a la striptease behind the thing, and there were a lot of 12-year-olds who got real excited out there in internet land and wrestling world.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was such again, just further how interesting this of Toni Storm is. It's not just she didn't just run in and throw a shoe or like interfere, pull somebody's foot, you know, cut a promo. What does she do as like her heel tactic? She takes her thing and does a little like a 50s style like showgirl striptease behind it, which is great. Plays into her character style.
A little burlesque.
Exactly. Yeah. And then use that as like a heel distraction kind of thing. Like, it was so good. So shout out to the flag.
Yeah.
What about you, Jay?
Salute the flag. For me, mine is also in AEW. My 24/7 champion of the week is the PA who was told to buy a lot of fake blood and really got too much. They were like, hey, can you go to like a Costco and grab some, you know, corn syrup or whatever? And, well, how much do you need? I don't know. Get a lot of it. Get like a good bit of it. And It was probably one of his first days on the job, and he just got a pallet of that shit and came back with it and handed the company card back to Tony. And he was like, all right, well, I guess this is what we'll go with. Shout out to that PA going above and beyond, terrified to lose his job, getting just a little too much corn syrup. That's my champion of the week. I do like giving it to the flag. I do like having the flag an inanimate object winning a
what object?
Inanimate.
There.
Inanimate. Yes.
Inanimate.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with the flag. I like the flag.
You're gonna go with the flag?
I like the flag having it. That's our champion this week. The Deep Dojo.
And yes indeed.
The Deep Dojo flag.
The Deep Dojo flag. Thank you for serving.
Yeah.
Although many people probably wished you would have fallen down, by the way.
Yes, sure.
But
sure.
You've served your purpose beautifully.
Let us know below, folks.
Well, no, this was black and white, too.
That's true. So that's true.
No colors to run. But yeah, let us know, folks, especially if you're on YouTube, what was your 24/7? Who was your champion of the week? Let us know. And just like Jake said before, all those subscribes, all the platforms, let us know everything and come chat with us in the Discord. But folks, check out the awesome pay-per-views going on this weekend. And you know that we'll be back right here next week. We'll see if GB is
maybe
alive.
Maybe with GB. Who knows?
Maybe. Well, maybe well, he's
when,
found
when these
find
numbers skyrocket when he's not here, he may not be.
Maybe we'll get the X.
Yeah, but maybe.
Until that time, folks, thank you so much again for Jake, for GB across the world, for all of us here at Rebook. We will see you on the next one.